Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is Daf Gimel, and we're holding at the bottom of Daf Beis Amud Beis, and we're trying to figure out how Rava knows that it's not the same when you're giving a get, and that over there we don't say what Rabbi Yosef said yesterday about not performing within Yud Beis Chodesh. So today the Gemara wants to say the truth is, Rava had no source for this whatsoever. He actually made up the whole thing himself. Rava with three lines up for the bottom, Ela Rava Svara de Nafsheka Omar. Rava actually thought this up himself. He considers it to be a takona. And the takona is because we're worried about snuot umishum prutzot. We're worried about two groups of women. Women that are a little bit too religious, and women that are perhaps not as strict as they ought to be. And here's the idea. Mishum tznuot. If we would say that if somebody made a condition in a get, and he said, if I don't get here within 30 days or 12 months, or whatever it is, that the get should be a good get. What if he never shows up? And then the woman thinks to herself, but what if he didn't show up because he couldn't show up? What if he got sick? Then what happens is that she will never get married because she'll be too nervous about it. Therefore, says Rava, we must have made a takana that even in the event that it was not his fault, the get nonetheless is a perfectly kosher get. Now, later the Gemara is going to ask, how can you make a non-kosher get a kosher get? That's a different problem. But this is a takona derabanan that we make the non-kosher get a kosher get. That's what Rava was saying. It's not that I have a source that says that it's different if it's something that wasn't your fault. It may not be different than Rabbi Yosef, except that we make it different by making a takona, a get, with the condition like that, is always a kosher get, no matter what reason there is. That's because of the tznuot, on the one hand, the abed lo lahavi get. If you're going to tell me, well, a get like that, if it wasn't his fault, is not a get, then sometimes the guy really didn't come back because he didn't come back, and he could have come back, but she thinks, well, maybe it wasn't his fault. Umi agna, and then she'll be an aguna for her whole life. She'll never get married. And she'll sit there v'yatva for years thinking that he was maybe ill. But we also made the takana mishum prutzot. Because if you're going to tell me that it is not a get, and we should leave it on that basis, that mi'ikar hadin, it's really not a get, if it wasn't his fault that he didn't show up, so then she may think, as a matter of fact, even if she knows better, she may claim that, well, even if he was honest, he wasn't nana, so she'll go marry somebody else because it's, you know, looks good. And nimtza get batel. In the end, it's going to turn out that the get was not good and her children are all mamzerim. And therefore, we don't want to get caught up in these kind of cases. And we made the get a kosher get. Ask the Gemara, how the heck can you make a non-kosher get a kosher get? Mi'ika mita demidiraita lola havi geta mishum tznuot mishum prutzot sharina neshet ish la alma. You're telling me that we can make something that's not kosher get, and we're going to say, this married woman can go and get married to whoever she wants. How is that possible? Yes, as we've already seen many times, we saw back in Yevamot, that absolutely, in Kol Demekadesh, Adayta Derabbanan Bekadesh, and as Tosfos points out, this is even why we say in Kiddushin, Hareat Mekudeshet Likidat Moshe V'Yisrael. I make it absolutely clear. The concept of Kiddushin is defined by the way that it's accepted by society through the Rabbanan. And therefore, if it isn't a good Kiddushin, so then it's just null and void. And in this case, Afkeinu Rabbanan Kiddushin Minei, the Rabbanan disapproved of this condition of Kiddushin retroactively. So when somebody brings a get like this, that type of get nullifies a kiddushin. And therefore, it's insensitive to the reasons for his delay in coming back. Omar le'Rufino le'Ravashi, well, I mean, I understand the mechanism for such a thing. Again, we've had this conversation many times. I understand the mechanism when somebody was Makadish a woman by giving her money. Because the Rabbanan, after all, do have a right to determine the status of money. So they can say, okay, listen, we're best and we were mafka your money retroactively. You didn't, it wasn't your own money that you used to be Makadosh, it's not a good Kedushin. But if somebody was Makadosh Bevia, I mean, they can't undo the fact that there was intercourse there for the purpose of Kedushin. So what are they going to do about that? They can't cancel his intercourse, can they? So what exactly did they do? Well, Shavura, Banilabilat, Obilat, Znut. I understand. The concept of intercourse for Kedushin. Obviously, I mean, every time people sleep together, he's being Makadosh as a woman. That's ridiculous to be his wife. So all that they did was they changed the context. And it was in the same way that they changed the context of the money, that is to say the ownership, they changed the context of this intercourse. And they said, okay, listen, it's all very nice that you're having fun with this girl. What does that have to do with taking her as a wife? Nothing. At least that's how we define it. So therefore, what we have over here is bia that is essentially shelo l'shem kedushin, contextually. And because of that, it doesn't create kedushin because the rabbanon so defined it. So they turned the bi'ila into bi'ilat znut. Now, there are different ways of understanding this. We've talked about it before, and that according to which the question is, well, what are they going to do about the fact that they've been sleeping together? And, okay, if that's the case, so then it's the same answer. Ikariyami. Now, there's a whole opposite approach to this whole discussion. The way we've been taking it is that according to Rava, the dinim of non-fulfillment, you ever hear when it comes to the 12 months, if you're not at fault, then you don't have to start paying the support. But that is different when it comes to a get. If you're no show, through no fault of your own, we don't care if it's through no fault of your own. And in here, the get would anyway be a kosher get. And we turned out that that's only because of a takana, not to have people getting into serious trouble, either keeping themselves away from ever getting married because they're nervous that the guy is sick, and or the opposite, of taking advantage of a situation where he may indeed have been an ones, and then ending up with a package of kids that are all mamzerim, also something that we don't want to see. But there was an opposite approach, according to which what Rava said was, actually, it's exactly the same as Rabbi Yosef says, for non-performance, it's exactly the same when it comes to a get. So in other words, the exact opposite of what he said before, and therefore every case that we were trying to bring as a proof to Rava now becomes a question to Rava, obviously, and we're going to go through all of the cases to come up with exactly the same explanations that we had for why it's not a proof over here, why it's not a question. So let's just do that. May's face. Our first question is, what was originally our first proof? The guy dies within the 12 months, and he doesn't show up for some strange reason at the end of the 12 months. It's still not a get. So this seems to apply that the only reason that it's still not a get is because he's dead, and there's no get li'achar misa. But had there been some other reason short of his dying, like he got sick, then it would be a get. And we give the same response that we gave when we were trying to bring this as a proof to Rava. And we said, who's to say that there's a difference between dying or being sick? Maybe non-performance, it's not your fault, is not considered to be fulfillment of the Tanai. And the only reason that the Mishnah specified death is to tell me the general halacha. He gufa kamashmalan de ein get liachar mita. And the same way that we asked yesterday, ain't get biachamita. That says beferish in the ratio of the same Mishnah. Yeah, but you know what we said yesterday. Maybe it needs repeating to make it clear that we do not hold of Rabotenu, who said that, yes, it is a good get, because Zebzano Shoshtar Mochiach Alav, the Gemara's not going to go through the whole jazz. So we know what the rest of it is. Okay, that's great. Tashma, Meachshav. Now, how about that second raya to Rava, which over here becomes a question to Rava? He says, if he says beferish from this moment on, retroactively, imlo abati mikan v'ad shnei masar chodesh umeit b'toch shnei masar chodesh, then it is a good get because it was retroactive. I mean, over here, it wasn't his fault that he died, so then I'm assuming the same thing, wasn't his fault that he got COVID. So my love, v'adin l'chala. No. It could be, the same answer that we said, it could be mate dafka, telo nechale de tipo kame yavam. He specifically took into consideration the possibility of his death because he's giving her this get in order that she not fall to his idiot brother. Tashma, Me'agudi Omar Lahu. How about that other case that again we brought yesterday? The guy we said, he said, if I don't get her in 30 days, it should be a get. He comes at the end of 30 days, missed the ferry boat, and he starts shouting, I'm a year, hello, chazud asoy, chazud asoy. And Shmuel said, that's not called arrival, lav shmei matya. Yes, and we give the same answer we gave yesterday, unsa deshchicha shiny. When something is meant to be taken into consideration, given the Yibayle Latnuya, he should have realized that oftentimes schedules change or planes are canceled or whatever, then he should have said, if I don't get it within 30 days, unless, of course, it was caused by the fact that they canceled the flight. But he didn't say that. So then, Iyuhu da'afsid anafshe, and we mentioned yesterday, but it didn't get recorded. So we mentioned that Tosis points out that there are three levels of these types of possible onsim. There's an ones which is shchiach, so shchiach that any idiot would have noted that a plane could be canceled, and so he had to point that out, that he's not including that kind of thing. And then there's the kind of thing that nobody would have thought of, like a meteor strike or something. And then there's the general spread of the kind of things that could happen, and not utterly shocking, but it's not the kind of thing that you expect to happen on a regular Sunday, Monday. So therefore, we are talking about over here that issue. And this becomes the two lashonos of Rava. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak. So now, getting back to our main topic. So our main topic is that, as the Mishnah said, that the din is that you can only get married on a Wednesday to a betulah in order to appear in court on Thursday, right? But this is only true, says the Gemara, from the time that Ezra made the takana that bate dinim are to be kavua on Mondays and Thursdays. But before Ezra made that takana, so over there, a court would convene whenever you need the court. There was no particular time that there was a court, but they did him could be kavuin b'chol yom. So that if that's the case, isha nisait b'chol yom. But then none of this would make any sense. If he has tarat betulim, then he would still go in order to be mevarer whether she was in fact really a betulah. Why are you telling me what happened before the Takanas Ezra? Who cares, you know? Kodem Takanas Ezra, my daven havi. I don't know, whatever was. I mean, we don't have to paskin for them, you know? That's in the past. No, obviously. The point that Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak was trying to make is that if indeed you are in a locale, and nowadays, and this, of course, is how we paskin, and that's why nowadays we do not only get married to a betula on Wednesday. If you live in a place where it is today the way that it used to be before the takana of Ezra, so then, in fact, isha nis'eit b'chol yom, there would be no problem of getting married in any day. What? Wait a minute. What about the whole business that we... You're pretending that this was the real story, but remember, this was only part of the story. Don't you recall the whole discussion? Well, why can't it be on a Sunday? Why would it have to be on a Wednesday? And we ended up understanding that this was this very assiduous demand that the Chachamim made that women be properly provided for, and that we don't want weddings being made without sufficient time for the wedding. So how be on Shaktu? What about that? I mean, don't we still need 3 days of proper preparation for the su'udah at a wedding? Well, yes, that's a different issue. I mean, obviously, Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak was talking about where, in fact, you did that, of course. And assuming that there's no problem of shaktu, all he's saying is that there also would be no problem if there's no takanas Ezra in effect. So then there's no problem of needing to get to the Beit Din. You can get to the Beit Din on any day. Now, this business about shaktu, I mean, I understand that Shmuel says this, but where the heck does it come from? I mean, Shmuel can't say this on his own, that we're going to use it as a kasha, right? I mean, we were asking it. It was the whole discussion with Rabbi Yosef. I mean, I understand. Shmuel is an amora. Shmuel is not a source. Where does it come from? Where is this source that the Rabbanan actually are very careful about seeing to it that on every level, a woman should be properly paid attention to and marriage should be taken very seriously? Now, where do we see that? Well, take a look at this brayse. The Tanya. Mipnei ma amru betulani seit liyom ha-revi'i, she'im haya lo ta'anat betulim, haya mashkim le-beit din. Okay, so here we have the basic statement in our Mishnah, but the Braita continues with an explanation that also takes everything that Shmuel said into account. And that is, it asks the question itself that Shmuel only hinted to, and that Rabbi Yosef had to figure out, gosh, I don't know what I'm talking about. And then he finally figured out what he was talking about. V'tinaseh be'achad b'shabbat, why not get married on Sunday? And therefore, in the event that there was a ta'anat betulim, haya mashkim le'beitin, he would be able to go the next morning on Monday. By the way, I must urge anyone who is not here on the first day to please listen to the introduction and the shiur, because none of this is going to make any sense to you without the full understanding of what is going on. And it's really a chaval. So just take a little bit of time to do a fast job on a listen to what that's about. I think it was at the beginning, really. It was maybe the first 20 minutes or so. Anyway, so getting back to this. So we asked over there, what about going to court on Monday and getting married on Sunday? And the Braita itself answers exactly what Shmuel had figured out, namely, Shakdu Chachamim al Takanat Benot Yisrael, Shiyadam Torech Besi'udah Shlosha Yamim, Echad B'Shabbat, V'Sheni B'Shabbat, V'Shlishi B'Shabbat. Fine. Now we get into, once we've already quoted this Braita, we're going to get into the rest of what the Braita said. And that is, Misakona Ve'Elech, when things got dangerous. Now, it's not clear what the danger was, but when things got dangerous, so then people developed a custom, and that was to get married on Tuesday, and even though nobody told them they have a right to do that, the Chachamim did not complain. Chachamim said, you have no right to do that, and however, what they did say is, well, don't go all the way back to Monday. But if there was some type of ones, an unavoidable issue, so then it would be mutter. Now, obviously, this requires explaining what's the difference between a sakona and an unavoidable issue, and why wouldn't, if it's a sakona, why wouldn't we have changed the din, and so on and so forth? Why does it say that there were only nagu? If it's really dangerous, the Chachamim would have said, you're not allowed to put yourself into danger. So something's very strange about this braita, huh? Okay, I don't know. We'll have to get back to it. And let's first finish the braita before we get back to it. Umafreshina tachatan min hakala leil shabbat techila. If the first night that they're going to be able to get together, then we have to keep them away from her if it's Friday night. Why? Because if she is a betula and he actually causes bleeding with intercourse, so then he's making a chabura on Shabbos. And that would be aser. Now, this is what the Gemara thinks now. We're going to talk about this, not tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. We'll talk about it and see whether this is really a chashash. Anyway, when we said it's dangerous, getting back now to understanding the braita, from the time that it's dangerous, people started to get married on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. What danger are we talking about? Is it that the Romans came up with an idea that just to prove to you that we don't believe in your religion and that you're supposed to get married on Wednesday? Well, anybody who gets married on Wednesday is going to be shot. Okay, so then, what do you mean, nohagu? Why is it only a minhag? I mean, I would think that the Chachamim would tell people, you're not allowed to endanger yourself just to get married on a Wednesday. I mean, that's crazy. The whole thing was like, okay, it's this nice takon, I understand. Don't put yourself in danger for such a thing. So it can't mean that you might get shot. Oh, my rabbi, no, it doesn't mean you might get shot. It means that what happened is that they had this takana, which actually was in place in many locations throughout the Middle Ages. If somebody marries a virgin, the governor gets first shot. You know, so over here, it's a bitula, hanisek biyomar revi'i. So if we find out that she's getting married, so then she's got to sleep first with the hegemon. She's got to sleep first with the governor, right? So, okay, that's not a danger to life, but they certainly understood that people are not going to want to put themselves into that position. And therefore, if they went ahead and got married on a Tuesday instead, so fine, we're not going to complain, but we will tell you, I mean, don't be okay the takona completely. If you're going to go get married on a Monday, then it's not going to be enough time to prepare the wedding. So at least you have 2 days to prepare a wedding. Fine. But I don't understand. Why are we calling this a danger? You said it's dangerous. Why is it dangerous? I mean, it's rape. It's not dangerous. Well, because there are the kind of women who do not allow themselves to be raped, and instead they get shot or whatever, strangled to death. So that is dangerous, right? So bishum de'ikat tznuot. There are the kind of women that would rather be killed than be raped. So it can come to danger. And this is basically built on their understanding of, now this is the whole point of the Gemara. It's a little bit difficult for us to grasp, again, because of Western sensibilities. But there are people who think that the issue of rape is so important that it would mean that they would not be allowed to for their husband. And therefore, in their mind, the question of a relationship, a sexual relationship with someone else, even though they were raped, looms very large. Larger than it should, because the fact is, if you're raped, you're raped. It's not your fault. And therefore, it would not have any impact on your relationship with your husband. So there's no real reason why they should have gotten themselves into danger and allowed themselves to be strangled instead of raped. The best solution is go along with the rape and then walk away. What's the big deal? Ask the Gemara, well, then why don't we teach women about how to view rape properly? So, Velitra Shmuda and Ashari explain to them that rape is not considered to be a relationship with somebody else. It's as if you're completely not involved, and therefore, don't worry about it so much. And don't let yourself get into Chas V'Sholom, a dangerous situation, just because somebody wants to rape you. Ah, you see, okay, that's true. We could do that. But if we went on a sex education deal, there's always people that take advantage of that kind of thing, and they use it for the opposite purposes. That's the problem. Because it's all very nice to say there are these very modest women. Okay, fine. So we don't want people to be overly modest. But there's also the other kind of women that are prutzot, and they're very not modest. They're very immodest women. And not to mention the fact, by the way, that there are also women that are married to Kohanim, in which case they will lose their husbands. We can't tell them to completely ignore it. So we can't just have a sex education course and change this whole thing. Because, I mean, if we don't do anything, then fine, people find their way. If we educate them, then the problem is that people get a feeling that sex is not all that important. In which case, the prutzot will go to the opposite extreme. They say, oh, okay, fine. I always wanted to sleep with that governor. The guy looks like a real he-man, you know? So this is a great opportunity. So we really have a difficult time in finding ourselves the exact balance. And so because of this, it is dangerous. We're not going to do an educational effort to change it and make it non-dangerous. On the other hand, if people don't want to get into that situation, it's perfectly understandable, and we're certainly not going to complain that they don't get married on Wednesday. Well, I don't understand. But, I mean, if that's the case, then there are going to be people, such as the Eishes HaKohen, or you're saying now Tznuot, who don't know better, and they will, in fact, get killed. So I understand. So why don't we cancel this whole thing? Forget about Wednesday. I mean, what's the big deal? Gezeira avida debata. Listen, people have to learn. Governments come and go. Laws come and go. This is all passing shadows. We're going to start being Iker at the Konad Rabbanan that's based on the essential understanding of the nature of marriage and how we, because some stupid government makes a law of this prima noche. I mean, this happens all the time. Crazy things happen in the world. We can't change the world just because some guy decides, you know, that we're going to cancel the Roe ruling or whatever, right? Whatever they decide today will be different later. So that we don't do. Takanta drabana mikami gezera lo akrina. We're not oker some serious issue just because of a passing government. I understand. So then the whole thing doesn't make any sense to me. You see, I mean, if you're telling me that the issue over here has nothing to do with the fact that the government is against people keeping Jewish laws, and therefore they said this thing about on Wednesday, if you get married on Wednesday, you should be killed. That's not the issue. So I don't understand. I mean, if Lamaisa, people now get married on Tuesday, so what's to stop a guy from coming and taking the beautiful bride for himself for Tuesday night? You mean he's only available on Wednesday night, the governor? What kind of sense does this make? Oh, see, that's all part of the idea. If we don't say anything, then he'll never know. You see, if all the girls getting married on Wednesday, all those girls that are betulot are getting married on Wednesday, so then the guy marks it off on his calendar. Calendar is virgin rape night, right? So, okay, so he's got that marked off. But now people are going to go and do their own thing. So he's going to say, ah, that's crazy. I went last Wednesday, spent 3 hours, ended up not finding a single virgin to rape. I got no time for this. So then he's not going to put it on his calendar, you see. That's the point. Misveka lo akanafim. He doesn't know that there's any bait, then he doesn't go to get her. Okay, then you said, even under these crazy situation, don't get married on Monday unless there is some kind of ones. Now, I'm really confused. What are we talking about an ones? Are we talking about what we're just talking about now? That maybe there's this guy's going to come and take away the bride? So how come first you called it a sakana, and you said, yeah, sakana, you go to Tuesday. Then you said, but because of an ones, you can go to Monday. Why did it become before it was a sakana, now it's an ones? Not to mention that before you said, the tomb, you said nagu. People worked that out on their own. But now we're telling them straight out, no more, you know, you can get married on Monday. Make up your mind. Amar Rava, this is a totally different issue. It has nothing to do with the hegemon stealing the girls. This is that we found out. The ones is that the army is coming to town on that day, passing through, and it's the chief of staff, the Saratsava, some big general, bigwig, is coming in with a bunch of soldiers on that day. And you know what's going to happen. If there's a wedding, who do you think is going to eat up all the food? So they're going to ruin the wedding, that's all. So in other words, if you say, if I prepare a wedding for Wednesday, there ain't going to be no wedding. So then fine, okay, so whatever it is. If I prepare it for Tuesday, there won't be a wedding. Fine, so then prepare it for Monday. Well, I understand, what exactly is the case? The general is coming to town, so put off the wedding to next week. I mean, I don't get it. It's not a permanent situation. The thing you talked about before, where they had this law that, you know, I'm going to come and take away the girl from under the chuppah, I understand. But this is, you're saying, it happens to be that we found out that the guy's passing through. So can't we just put it off till next Wednesday? No, it doesn't mean he's passing through. It's talking about that he's staying for a while. Okay, so if he's coming on a Wednesday, why can't we get married on Tuesday? Because, listen, they never just walk into town. There's always the core of the infrastructure people, core of engineers, the cooks, whatever. They come to town before. I mean, once you know he's coming to town on Wednesday, you can be sure there's going to be problems on Tuesday. That's the point. So is paravadi day bishlishi ka'atu. So, okay, these are like, what do they call them? The quartermasters, the ones who are in charge of making everything ready and having the barracks ready and so on. Anyway, that's one way of understanding the ones. V'bayitema, you know what it could be talking about? I'll tell you. We know that there is this situation because we discussed it in the Mishnah. It might be discussing an ones of death, Kidatanya. Brita says like this. They already prepared, they baked the bread for the wedding. They already shechted the animals for the meat. They already mixed the wine. They opened the drinks. And good heavens, the father of the chosen, the mother of the kala, suddenly dies. What do we do? Over there, we have an amazing halacha. We don't cancel the wedding. What we do is we don't bury the father or the mother and cancel the wedding. We put the body in a different room and we go ahead with the wedding. This is called the show must go on. And what happens is, machnisina tamet l'cheder, we take the chosen and the kala to the chuppah, and then the chosen sleeps with her the first time. Now that first time is called be'ilat mitzvah, which is strange. Why is that called be'ilat mitzvah? So Tosfos explains. I mean, why do I say it's strange? It's strange because normally when you have a be'ilah of a betulah, so as Rashi pointed out in the Torah, it is oftentimes difficult to conceive because of the messiness of the betulim. And therefore, it should be not mitzvah because I'm not going to be Mekayim. I'm less likely to be Mekayim Pru Revu if I'm sleeping with a virgin. So if that's the case, it's weird to call it a be'ilat mitzvah, isn't it? So here's a very interesting insight. That the point over here is that the nature of Pru Urvu, we've discussed this issue, the nature of Pru Urvu is not to provide sperm for a sperm bank. The nature of Pru Urvu is to live together as man and wife normally as part of reproductive success. So since, Tosfos explains, since that first night is very profoundly important for defining the nature of the entire marriage, the way that the Gemara puts it elsewhere is, Ein isha koretet brit elim misha sa'akli. A woman doesn't have a deep sense of a profound unity unless it's with someone who is the one that has turned her into a fully functional woman in the sense of getting her into this intercourse as she was initially a betulah. So because of that, it's called the be'ilat mitzvah. It's a whole different way of viewing it. Anyway, so the point over here is that in order to conclude the chuppah and so on, so yes, he's boil be'ilat mitzvah, but once that is done, then we go and we bury the mace. Now, after we bury the mace, normally what would be the din? That he would be or she would be an avel or avela, correct? But remember, there's no avelut during a yontif. And the shivat yimei hamishteh for the chosin and kala is the equivalent of a yontif. So in the same way that when there's a yontif, if someone chas v'chalila loses a loved one, the avelut does not start during the yontif. And therefore, what we do over here is first we have the Sheva Brochas, Noeg Shivat Yimei HaMishteh, V'achar Kach Noeg Shivat Yimei HaVelut. And only after the Yontif is over is there the 7 days of HaVelut. But during all of that period, Hu Yoshein Bein HaAnashim V'Yeshein HaBein HaAnashim, they don't sleep alone together. He sleeps with other men, she sleeps with other women, and that way they're not going to be having relations while they shouldn't be having relations. And we're going to be talking about all of this. This is a unique situation, as we're going to see. Obviously, in normal avelut, there's no iser to be alone with the mate. And there's a reason why this situation here is different, which we'll get to tomorrow. And the other thing which is different is that even though normally for 30 days there is an isser of, you know, doing the kind of things of fixing up your face and hair and so on and so forth, but that's not true in this case. Ein monin tachshitin min hakala kol 30 yom, because of the fact that she is a kala, we don't have her do the kind of things that are usher normally during shloshim. We'll see what the din would be with women in general, because it's very important for her to continue to be beautiful for him. All of this will continue tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, but we're in the middle. Remember, just let me remind you, where we're up to what may be the meaning of ones. So on the one hand, ones may be just the loss of the su'uda due to whatever, the general coming to town, the quartermaster coming to town. Or the other explanation of ones is the loss of the wedding, but because of the loss of a loved one, where, as we'll see tomorrow, it will be difficult to do that wedding again because the father of the chassan or the mother of the kala are central to the preparations for a wedding and on many different levels. All to be discussed tomorrow. Meanwhile, wishing you all a wonderful Shavua Tov Mubarak. Please be merchel me for that first. It wasn't that bad. It was a chazorah, so at least we got into it, okay? And
Rabbi, this Tosis fits in, and Rabbi said it, but I'm just stressing, it's another plank in the sustainability of relationship concern. It fits that very strongly.
Yes, absolutely. And, yeah. So, and also, by the way, I mean, obviously, this idea is that Tosfos doesn't talk out the idea of there not being the essential period of Arivia issues by a betula. And obviously, it's not an absolute that it's impossible, and it's obviously very possible to impregnate a betula. But the problem is just the messiness of it. That is, the bleeding of it may actually discharge semen. Or just trying to break through the petulium may cause premature ejaculation. Or there's many, many different things that are not normal, smooth sailing when it comes to the bia of a betula. Because of that, it's not the best way to assume that you're going to get her pregnant. So because of that, this is why Tosfos is bothered specifically by the issue of why call it a be'ilat mitzvah. But I think this takes into consideration both elements of the Tosfos. Okay, everyone, hine el Yeshua tiftach v'lo evchad. Don't forget Kiddush Levana if you haven't done it yet. And if you got a nice moon out there, we'll see you, everybody. Thank you so much. See you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow morning.